Vine Church family. All right. Let's have you guys go ahead and open your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to pick up where Cody... Let's give a hand for Cody. He works tirelessly. I mean, seriously. I love him so much. He works so hard to help in what he's doing with the deaf ministry. So let's get you guys to Ephesians chapter 1. You can see the name of our message today is We Are Products of God's Power. So we're going to go through this together. We're going to break some things down, and hopefully you guys will come away edified, challenged, and enriched from this. So briefly, give you a quick history of our family. I don't even know if I did this the first service or not, but I've been married about 37 years to my lovely wife, Maggie. Yeah, love her much. We've been through a lot, but God is good. And we have one special needs daughter, Casey, who's 30, who we love dearly. And Pastor Rich filled in, you know, he dotted I's and crossed T's for all the rest, so you guys kind of know. Most of you who are regular church attenders know I'm back here most of the time, but I have the privilege to bring you God's word this morning, so I'm so thankful for that. So let's go ahead and get into the word. You should be in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. This is Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, and it's his prayer to them. Quite a few verses, so let's dig into this. He says, therefore, I also, after hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, mentioning you in my prayers. Verse 17, so that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints. And I'm reading from the MEV. If you were curious. In verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? In verse 20, which he performed in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Paul was the king of the run-on sentences, and I thought I was. Verse 22, and he put all things in subjection under his feet, Christ, and made him, Christ, the head over the church, or head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things in all ways. So we see from that text, especially in verse 19, we have the word power there. And it's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So I think it's important for us to define that word. You may think it's a simple word, but let's define that. It comes from the Greek word dunamis, which means to have strength, ability, might, abundance. And we know that in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke everything into existence. We read chapter after chapter, verse after verse. God said, let there be. God said, let there be. Boom, boom, boom. It happened. So we understand that God has unlimited power of physical creation. And most of our secular definitions refer to power in the physical realm as well as being able to move objects, produce change, make an impression on something. So I want to kind of contrast that for you. So we said God has unlimited physical power, right? So when you look at physical power, we could say, okay, we're talking about moving and changing. Let's talk about automotive parts fab, right? So you're building a car, and by the way, most of our cars nowadays are made out of plastic like our credit cards. But the parts that are metal, they use these enormous stamps and presses up in Detroit mostly. They print out these parts. They stamp them out. The force goes in. It makes an impression. Okay, good, Steve. We got that part, right? So let's contrast that with God's spiritual power. We said God is physical. Has physical power of creation. He also has spiritual power of creation. You guys aware of that? Somebody say amen. 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 So he also has the power to move, to change, to make impressions, like the Christ-likeness that is impressed on somebody's heart. And that is the basis for our salvation. It is the basis for discipleship. And it moves us. It changes us and moves us towards God and his people. So when the Bible talks about God's power to us, the church age, the dispensation of grace that we live in right now, we're talking about the power of what, church? The Holy Spirit. All right. You guys are a little more on the ball. 8 o'clock was kind of sleepy. We had to go over that a couple times, but all right. So in God's economy, spiritual power of creation is absolutely essential and is key. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Apostle Paul wrote that any man who is in Christ is a new what? creature, creation, right? Some translations say. So we know that we are products of God's power through his Holy Spirit. We understand that through his word. So that brings me to the first point I want you guys to get this morning. To receive that, how do we obtain it? We have to be submitted to God. We have to be submitted to God. Let's bring up the next verse, Ephesians 1:13, please. So Paul again writes, this is a couple verses where Cody kind of left off, verse 13 or 14 last week. So we read, in him you also, after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and after believing in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So I want you to notice there's a process, there's a pattern here, right? What do we just read? We hear, right? Amen. We believe, amen. And we receive, right? So it says we're sealed, we got to receive that sealing. We got to receive it. And dormant believers, folks who believe in Christ but haven't acted on this, I say wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, and act on this. James, thank you, Casey. She's my biggest fan. James 2:17 says, I'm losing my focus, Casey. James 2:17 says that faith without works is dead and that our works prove our faith. So people who believe and you're not acting on the power that's available to you, I want you to be challenged by that this morning. And unbelievers, those who haven't accepted Christ, watching online, you're here in person, please, dear God, please listen to me. The only way to receive that power is through Jesus. Jesus Christ is the key to receiving power from the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit is able to unlock prison doors and valley seasons in our lives. Somebody give God a shout of praise in this house this morning. That's how we obtain it. In the very moment that we place our faith and trust in Jesus, we are inextricably linked to God and his Spirit lives within us. That's just a big fancy word that means, hey, you can't be disentangled, untied, separated from God. And in Romans 8, at the end of that chapter, our boy Paul, he proves it. He says, hey, nothing can separate you from the love of God, not famine or sword or peril or nakedness or any created thing can separate you from the love of God, which is in who? Christ Jesus. Nothing. Let's bring up the next slide. In the Gospels, John wrote, yet to all who what, church? Received him, he gave what? The power to become sons of God to those who believe in his name. And we can't receive him if we're full of pride, if we're full of ourselves. If we've received him and we've turned prideful, then what do we need to do, people? We need to turn that around, repent, and get right with God. Amen? Right. So there's an element that I want you to pick up on. There's an element that has to be in place for our belief, for belief to occur in our hearts. And somebody want to tell me what it is? It starts with an H, and it's not hell. It's humility. Humility. It's humility. Humility is submission to God. Pride equals dependence on this. What is this? It's flesh. It's flesh. And if I'm popping, I'm sorry. Pride is the opposite of humility, and it is a barrier, it is a stumbling block, and it is one of Satan's most powerful weapons. Somebody say amen. Amen. Pride will actually prevent you from submitting to God. Humble submission to God will equal God's grace being unlocked in your life. And if you want proof, I'll quote our boy James again. James 4:6, he says, but he, God, gives more grace. For this reason, it says that God gives resists the who? The proud. But gives grace to who? The humble. He gives grace to the humble. And he was actually quoting from scripture in Proverbs 3. So church, I want you to repeat. I'm going to get you guys to do a lot of this morning so we don't fall asleep even though it is later. Repeat after me. Pride blinds us. Pride. Say it again. Pride blinds us. Pride blinds us. Simply put, pride prevents that power from being unlocked in our lives. I told you I was going to sit down on pride today because it is a stumbling block. Regarding pride, the American evangelist D.L. Moody, who started Moody Church, and I think it's in Chicago, had this to say. He says, God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. I think God's got the right to do that. What about you? And regarding humility, former atheist turned Christian author C.S. Lewis, well-known name, had this to say about humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. Let that one sink in. Kind of judge yourself. You don't have to share it with me, but let that resonate in your heart. Humility, we could say, is having an accurate understanding of who you are, which leads us to treating others as more important than ourselves. And that's right out of Philippians 2. Pastor Rich was here earlier. I like to give him props because he calls that a timeless truth out of the Bible. And it's something we need to remember. Let's bring up the next verse, please. Acts 1. There it is. Jesus, teaching his disciples, said, "But you shall receive what?
Power.
Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And he wasn't kidding, because the next book over, Acts 2, day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit shows up, kabam, they're all talking in tongues. Absolutely outstanding. Outstanding. And I don't want you to forget this. We've sat down on pride and humility. Only when we receive Jesus in humility do we have access to his power, to the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the power to be healed. We have the power to be delivered. We have the power to carry out his will for our lives. His will. His will. His kingdom. His kingdom work. Because God works through who? He works through his people. He works through his people. So remember what we said in Ephesians 1:13, right? We hear, we believe it, and we what? We receive it. All right. So let's look at what does that look like in a spirit-filled life. If maybe you're a brand new believer, or you're an atheist or an unbeliever, and you're like, okay, what does that look like? Spirit-filled life. Let's unpack a few verses. Let's go back to Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 17. Hopefully you've been idling along there. And let's pick this up. Verse 17 says, "So that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Let's stop right there. The spirit of wisdom, wisdom is the godly application of knowledge. Wisdom is a godly application of knowledge. And we have revelation from the power of the Holy Spirit. In John 16, Jesus, red letters, master, head of the church, said, "The spirit of truth will guide you into all truth, and he will lead you and he will guide you of things that are to come." We have knowledge, knowledge of him, his ways, his desires for our lives. Let's pick it up in verse 18. "That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints." And let's hold up right there. Understanding is understanding his will for our lives. You're starting to get the picture, hopefully. Enlightenment is opening blind eyes, unclogging deaf ears, and it is breaking down hard hearts. It's breaking down hard hearts. And the hope of a beautiful future, the hope of his calling, that's the joy of our salvation. That's Jesus, people. And riches and inheritance, brothers and sisters, that is heaven. That is heaven. It's the lion laying down with the lamb. It's streets lined with gold versus potholes on Dunlawton or Bevel or whatever street you happen to be cruising along on. Which are you going to pick? I'm going to go with Jesus, man. I've been down those other roads, ridden hard and put away wet, and it ain't fun. And it's ugly. It's ugly. Let's pick it up in verse 19. "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Church, this is our power source. Power, power, power is what we're talking about this morning. Where does that come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit via Jesus. It's our power source, not Chick-fil-A, not Starbucks. Although those are great and they're yummy and it's good to go there from time to time. But those aren't our power source. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Another verse that I love so much, and this is one of my favorite books, Romans 8. Let's bring that verse up, please. Okay, don't run out because there's like the whole screen's filled with text. Let's stay with me here, okay? So every place you see spirit underlined, I want you to repeat that as I read this through. I'm not going to make you do the hard work. I'll do that. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And if indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified with him." Man, what a powerful passage. We see in that passage that we're spirit-led, we're free from slavery, we're free from bondage. The worship team, my brothers and sisters, talk about breaking chains. Bring it on. Break the chains. We're adopted children of God. We're heirs with Christ. Somebody give God a shout of praise in this house this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's bring up the next verse, 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul is writing to his young understudy protege, Timothy, and he says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what, church?
Power.
Of power and of love and self-control." Some versions say a sound mind. Some versions say a sound mind. You heard me talk about that Jesus is the key. And no, I'm not going to Starbucks and I'm not going to Chick-fil-A. Jesus is the key. Jesus is the key. And when we said that Jesus is the key, he's the key that unlocks the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't give me this actually key, or this actual key that has three Disney princesses on it and belongs to my daughter Casey. But for the sake of illustration, please bear with me. As products of God's power, church, I want you to understand, with the Holy Spirit living in our lives, we have the power to do not what we just sang about. We have the power to break chains of addiction, alcohol, drugs, pornography. We have the power. We have the power, church, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to break the strongholds of trauma, anxiety, depression, PTSD, suicidal thoughts. Has anybody looked up stats on teen suicide? It'll break your heart. We have the power to allow the Holy Spirit to heal broken relationships. Doesn't matter who it's with, parents, siblings, friends, train wreck marriages, infidelity, marital infidelity, divorce. How many know that a couple can get divorced, they can come to Christ on their own, and they can come back together, remarry with God as a foundation, and have the most beautiful marriage? Somebody say amen. We have the power to forgive the unforgivable. All the betrayal, deceit, lies that causes broken relationships. We have the power. Murder. Anybody watch the news? Anybody see what happened in a school? Jesus did forgive it, and he does. With him in our lives is the key. We unlock that door. We kick down that prison door, that prison wall, and we walk through. To Jesus, I release my burdens. We put him at the foot of his cross. We back up. We release it. And we say, it's yours. I'm not going to hold it anymore. Pardon my emotion. We have the power, church, by the Holy Spirit to get rid of that. In Psalm 103, verse 3, God reminds us that he forgives our iniquities. He heals our diseases. I'm teary-eyed. Where'd you guys go? Psalm 147, 3 says that he heals broken hearts. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He binds up their wounds. And if you're a believer and you've been sitting on this power, don't sit on your salvation. Please wake up. Don't sit on your salvation and let Satan push you around. Don't let him push you around. Get out your key. Jesus, unlock the power of the Holy Spirit. Give it to him. Give it to him. And unbelievers, dear God, if you don't believe in Jesus, please hear my voice. Please hear me. Accept Jesus. Not the key fob, the key. Accept Jesus. Receive that power. Receive that power and get free from everything. Get healed. I want you to repeat this after me, church. Through Jesus, I have exceeding power and abundance. I have exceeding power and abundance. Let's bring up the next verse. Ephesians 3:20, Paul writes a little later. He says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us, to him, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Church, we have all the redemptive power and healing benefits from the power of the Holy Spirit. We just need to receive it from Jesus. Can somebody say amen in God's church this morning? Amen. So you say, "Brother Steve, okay, I'm healed, I'm doing better, I'm coming around, what do I do with the rest of this power? It brings me to the third point that we have this morning. We serve. We serve God by serving his people. And as products of God's power, he desires us to bless and help his people and truly show other people what Christ-likeness really looks like. What does that look like? In church, we're made for this. Come on, we're made for this. We are made for this. Let's bring up the next verse, please. Ephesians 2:10, Paul wrote, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works." Say it again. Good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. In them. Repeat this, church. Repeat this after me. The Holy Spirit empowers me to serve God and his people. And his people. Without the Holy Spirit, we would never be able to do it on our own. And to keep us humble, Jesus reminds us in John 15:5, he says, "Hey guys, wake up," red letters, head of the church, master, says, "Hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life." Oh, that's another verse, sorry. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. But aside from me, you can do what? Nothing. You can do nothing. We can't do it on our own. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us the power to get up early on a Saturday morning. And I don't think Bill Lewis is in this service, but Bill and Michelle Lewis kind of head up the walk through Bethlehem construction. It gives you the power to get out of bed, show up, put a nail gun in one hand and a cup of coffee in the other. And Bill will probably tell you, put the cup of coffee down until you're done with the nail gun. It gives you the power to serve. It gives you the power to be a life group leader. Satan wants you to waste your pain. Don't waste your pain. Everything that you've learned, everything you've been through, what God has invested in you, pay it forward. Pay it forward. It gives you the power to do that, to lead a small group, to come together as community, as a family. And it gives you the power to do something so elementary, simple as performing childcare at our church. And when you do something like that, it gives a family who might be coming here for the very first time, it gives them a chance to get in a class around other believers that love them, to hear God's word, and to start healing and reconciliation. And guess what? You have a part in that by watching somebody's baby. Come on, church. I'm talking to somebody. But you say, "Brother Steve, but I'm tired. I can't. I'm not qualified. I don't know how. I don't have time. But. God is not a God of but. He's a God of provision, blessing, and power. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Provision, blessing, and power. We're his vessels. He pours into us. He does all the heavy lifting. We just got to agree with him. We got to get out of the way. And God's desire is for all of his people to come to repentance, to accept Christ as Savior, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And that one little paragraph, do you realize, church, we've covered three books of the Bible, 2 Peter 3, Ephesians 1, and Matthew 25. That's our challenge. That's our challenge. Our challenge is to serve. Let's bring up the next verse, please. Galatians 6:2, Paul wrote, and this church in Galatia was going through all kinds of legalistic problems. They had all kinds of nightmares happening. He says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 1, he said, we have the mind of Christ. He said, we don't know his thoughts. We can't counsel God. Who can counsel God? He's kind of quoting Job there. But we have the mind of Christ. And we can comfort others as we've been comforted. And in Philippians 2, we talked about that. That was just elementary. Think on the things of others. Get rid of your pride. Humble yourself. Think of other people. Somebody tell me, how do we do it? Through the power of what? I didn't hear you. The power of what? The Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Let's bring up the next verse. 2 Corinthians 9:8. This is such a great verse. God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you, always having enough of everything, may abound to every good work. Church, let me ask you a question. Does it sound like you're going to be lacking anything? No. I see all, abound, always, everything, enough. If God leads you to it, he's going to see you through it, and he's going to give you what you need to do that for him. In Philippians 4:13, most of you probably know this verse. I can do all things through who? Christ who does what? strengthens me. Right, it's his power. It's his power. And church, when the power of God meets a need in a spirit-filled believer, the result is service that honors and glorifies our Heavenly Father. That honors and glorifies him. We are products of God's power, and this is what we do as products of God's power. God works through his people. He works through his people. So in closing, let's bring up the last slide. I want you to remember these 3 points from this morning. We have to be submitted to who? Christ. That was weak. Submitted to?
Christ
or God. I heard both. That works. We're a triune believing church. And then we become what? Spirit-filled, right? We're healed, we're delivered, our infirmities are healed, our sickness, our disease, our problems. And then we take the power, and what do? We serve with that power. We serve with that power. I hope this has been a blessing to you. As I was preparing this, man, it opened my eyes to all kinds of things that I need to work on in my life. So let's go to the Lord in prayer.